You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. Sign on this TV series that said dead hooker storage, because I'm pretty sure there should be a sign on this TV series that says dead hooker storage.
There's a lot of dead hookers.
There's a lot of naked dead women in the show.
I mean, there are
a lot of naked people. Yeah. It doesn't feel gratuitous though. Like it,
no,
not to me. It felt no. It felt like authentic world building. Unlike Game of Thrones, it's like here's a tit, here's like some sex position. In this show, it felt like. Real. It felt like it was supposed to be there. It didn't feel like, hey, we're just pushing it to be violent. We're just pushing it to be sexy. It's like, nah, this is the world. This is how it is.
Oh, we're jumping into this already.
I was starting to feel like a prude because I was watching this and The Deuce at the same time, which is also dick, 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 tits, 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 tits. I was like, I'm starting to just think sex is gross.
Oh no, that I think that continues to happen as you get older. You're just like, but what you kids with your penises?
If I had some pearls, I'd clutch them.
your sleevey sex is giving me the vapors.
We are reviewing the first season of Netflix's Altered Carbon. I'm Chris.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Zach.
I'm Beau.
Zach holds a distinction in the room of being the only person who's actually read the books these are based on.
I came in here and I was like, shit, did anybody do the assignment? Because I did it.
And also, you're naked. Wake up, Sarah. Wake up.
Oh, God.
Not again.
Not only that, you're in VR, too. And, this is hell.
Great virtual torture is just put everybody back in high school.
No!
I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
And you relive every single day of high school, but it's really only like an hour in the real.
Yeah. Yep. Leaving.
can't you do something humane like burning my legs down to stumps with a pole? Yeah.
That does sound more pleasurable now that you mention it. Yeah, okay, so anyway, Altered Carbon is based on a novel, the same name, 2002, by Richard Morgan. I guess it's a trilogy, right?
Yes.
Possibly continuing?
This is just the first book, and I've only read just the first book, and it seemed very strict to it. Yeah. Felt like a very good adaptation.
So I've been told. It's 350 years in the future. It's Blade Runner-esque looking.
In style.
It's cyberpunk, bro. Man.
I mean, I really think, I gotta say, like, to me, this feels like one of the first, like, truly cyberpunk. Because, like, even Blade Runner, it's almost more of a noir movie.
It's proto-cyberpunk.
Exactly.
I feel a little too early.
Everything that's come before is like, it's the MC5. It's Iggy and the Stooges. And this is like, holy shit. Like, the first three episodes of this, I was like, holy shit, the Sex Pistols just got here.
to me, it's actually, since it was written in 2002, it's just, it's like post-cyberpunk, if you want to get technical.
Well, literally, absolutely, you know, because that genre has been around for a while. But as far as, like, watching this was the first time I was like, okay, I would trust everybody who is doing this to make a new Neuromancer movie.
This was written in 2002, right after the possibility when it was like, okay, we might be able to do VR in like in the next 6 months. And now we're just like,
vector lines?
Yeah, and now we're just like having like goat simulator VR where you just slap a goat all day.
Oh, isn't that game great?
I love it.
That was cooler than that.
Goat slapper.
What level of goat slapping are you at?
9,000.
Me too.
It's better than Goatsy Simulator.
It's better than that shitty filter that they put on like half the time they're in VR though. That was like the plastic filter.
Oh, I liked that. They needed to separate the real from VR in some way.
I like that vibrant look to it, like the super saturated colors. But then, like every once in a while, they would actually put like the in Photoshop that plastic wrap filter. It just I don't know. It kind of looked like that.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah. Like a bad, seconds, yeah. Like a bad phone camera filter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
look how artsy
you're
I am.
Getting into the VR world. Yeah. They had to have something to signify.
We filmed this on a Fisher-Price Pixel Vision.
Oh, shit.
Hey, man, those things are worth a fortune.
Oh, I know.
And all, like, 10 ever, seconds worth you can record
with them.
If you
ever found one of those, buy it immediately. Like, filmmakers will buy those for, like, $10,000 if they find them.
Mm, so get $10,000 and buy it.
Well, if you're in some store and you yeah. see one for $30
some yeah. country store in say Croatia.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, so the crux of the matter here is that Joel Kinnaman plays a guy who's not Joel Kinnaman.
Well,
he's
kind of
actually a Japanese guy named Takeshi Kovacs, who was
Japanese swap.
Yeah, who was a soldier who ended up defecting to a group of rebels who were very against the idea of this new technology that was coming out. That was basically where there was no reason for the rich
so they,
to ever die.
When we started exploring, when human beings started exploring space, they basically found this elder civilization that had been around for a while, and they figured out, oh, there's a technology where you can basically codify yourself.
Yes,
so the singularity has occurred, and everybody now has a disc at the, like, you know, right where your brain hits your spine that contains, it's your digital human freight.
Yeah.
And once you have that, as long as that remains intact, you can put yourself in any body that you want, and you'll still be you.
But it can even not remain intact. If you're rich enough, you can just download, back yourself up every 48 hours.
Super rich.
Which is, it's ridiculously expensive, but capitalism has, you know, it's like, that's one of the sad things about this, because I'd like to think we're in end-stage capitalism, but basically this posits that, oh no, it lasts a lot longer and it gets even worse, because now you have the people that discovered this technology, monetized it, so now you have these people who are literally immortal for all practical purposes, and they control, you know, the most precious thing in the world.
No.
You mean there's no universal stack care where everybody gets a new stack when they die?
Sarah, stacks aren't a right.
That is true.
You're more optimistic than I am. I was telling Courtney the other day, I feel like in Back to the Future, when Marty's looking at the picture of his family and they're fading out, my picture is of the Starship Enterprise and it's just slowly disappearing.
You look at your hand and it's disappearing. You're like, I don't know why, but it is.
So the rebels that he joins when he defects, like, their whole goal is kind of fucked up, though. Because
I'm not with them on it.
Yeah, it's like, I kind of like, as an atheist, I'm like, yeah, I just want eternal life. Like, fuck anything else. Like, give me eternal life and then we're good. And then they're like, no, that there's only meaning if you, like, can die. I'm not with that.
Yeah, fuck me.
I'll just
live forever, though. Like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, they basically, they have this virus that would basically, it would set everybody's lifespan, stack or no, to 100 years. And the idea being like, hey, it's the fact that we're ephemeral, that we are mortal, that provides our impetus for going out and doing good things. Which, you know, you could say, like, yeah, I want a mortal life, but... You know, I know all three of you, and we're not going to be able to afford immortal life.
Okay, wait, we're doing spoilers, right?
No, not yet.
Okay,
we'll get there.
All right,
but continuing on the plot. So he's Joel Kinnaman's character, who is actually a Japanese Slavic guy.
Takeshi Kovacs, is played by two people in this.
He's played by three people.
Four.
There's.
But
young,
he's been out of it for 250 years. He's been literally just in storage because the rebels, they lost, and badly. Yeah. And so he was put away in storage, and the super rich guy says, hey, some shit went down, and James Purefoy plays, I apparently died, but they took out my stack, and I was about to do the 48-hour upload, so I don't know anything that happened, and all the evidence suggested I killed myself. I would never kill myself. I'm getting you out of storage for reasons that are still kind of like,
he doesn't actually get, so to Takashi, these, you know, and bodies in this world are called sleeves. The sleeve that he was wearing was his original body. He does not come back in that. He comes back in a Caucasian body played by Joel Kinnaman. But they use his stack because the group that he was part of was a group called the Envoys. And they were this ultra elite military unit that basically they had you know, this raw intuition that's like cosmic awareness, and they can read patterns and figure out, you know, what people are going to do.
They got Daredevil thing going on where they can hear shit.
Yeah. They can if they are in a virtual reality situation, they can manipulate it. So
they can kind of break out.
They're super rebels, badass-y soldiers.
Yeah, they're cyber ninjas,
and they're really good at being detectives too, I guess.
Yeah, I know, that was the one where I'm just like, wait, I get that, like, the guys, if you wanted to have the best security guy ever, but you're like, where do you get your privacy?
But I do understand why they wanted somebody outside the system.
And they also insinuated later that it was like, yeah, partially he just wanted to brag to everybody. Look, I got the only end
his little pet.
He's kind of obsessed with
antiquity, and so that he has this artifact fetish, and so he brings back an artifact to, you know, solve his murder.
And meanwhile, we've got this female cop led by Martha Higuretta, who's great in this.
She's awesome.
I thought she was really good. And she is just kind of obsessed with Takeshi. She's following him around everywhere and, like, giving him shit. And he's like, what is your deal with me? Mm-hmm. Well, we find out very shortly the deal is the sleeve he's in is actually the not just a created, like, a grown body. It's the body of her ex-lover who was a cop.
Yeah. And she,
and
like,
her apart.
Yeah, and she, apart, like, fucked up a case from the Minecraft, or what's his name?
For the rich guy.
Bancroft.
Bancroft. And he's, like, just being spiteful also using that sleeve. Like,
yeah, just to piss her off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm following you because I don't want anything to happen,
like,
to this
all
body.
All these plot threads are, like, so complicated, but it's so good.
It's so good.
It reminds me, and, you know, obviously we've already talked about how this is cyberpunk. It's this really cool, amazing future that we're seeing with a lot of dark elements in it. But it's also very much a detective, hard-boiled detective thing. And it plays with the same tropes that you get in hard-boiled detective novels and movies.
There's even a great, like, Sherlock Holmes type scene where all the key players, all the suspects are in the same room, and he's, like, this is what happened, and there's flashbacks and stuff like that.
He's wearing the sleeve of Tony Shalhoub from Monk.
What's cool about it is with cyberpunk and, like, noir, a lot of times it's just about flavor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just about getting the setting, and this does that. It gets the setting, but it also has that more of a straight detective plot. Like, this is really intricate. There's nothing that doesn't, like, have a reason for
me. Blade Runner, there's not a lot of mystery. I mean, there's discoveries to be made, but it isn't like a whodunit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, go kill these things.
This is literally a whodunit.
Yeah. And there's a reason for everything. Like, why he's in this specific sleeve, how these two characters interact, why they feel this way. It's like, it's not just flavor, it's not just setting, and that's what I really love about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm the only one who didn't like it, huh?
What? Are you kidding?
Okay. No, I didn't care for this.
Wow.
Puerile and juvenile. I was like, this thing is just, it's all just tits and ass and violence and a plot that's everything is stolen from something else really blatantly. Everything is so on the nose. The twists when they're there are kind of ridiculous and eye-rolling. I was like, okay, only some of the performances are good. Others are just really silly and lame. I was just like, the one thing I'll say, the effects are terrific and the visualization of the world, as much as everything is stolen from something else, still looks really cool. I was like, damn, Netflix, you dropped a pretty little dime on this sucker. But overall, I was left with, yeah, I watched the whole thing. I can't say I didn't enjoy watching it, but I was really childish.
I don't see what's childish about it.
I mean, I'll
it's
go
just,
with
so pure.
Clearly in a sleeve. It's not.
Well, I'll go with, yeah, this borrows a lot of stuff, which, you know, it's like, so does every fucking Quentin Tarantino movie. Who gives a fuck? But yes, I will agree that there are some performances here that leave some to be desired. But I, as far as, like, going right down the slope all the way to Puerileville, nah, I wouldn't go that far.
Just like I said, it just felt like tits, ass, and violence to me with not much of a soul, but it was pretending like it had a soul the whole time. It never did.
I want to address the tits and ass thing.
Uh-huh.
So I hate gratuitous nudity and sex scenes, and you know how I feel about objectification of women. And I thought that Blade Runner 2049 was pretending to be a strong female character story, but was really, like, pure objectification of women. This, I don't think that at all.
Wow.
I think the nudity was more evenly distributed. There were a lot of naked women.
There needed to be some more balls and dicks, though.
There were.
There
were more than Game of Thrones.
I mean, see little Purefoy Jr.
Yeah. There was a lot of, I guess you could say, objectification of Kovach. He's shirtless a lot. He is shot in a sexy way through most of this. I think that Ortega and a lot of the other female characters,
Miriam, Miriam Bancroft, the wife of
Miriam, no. I disagree with that. I don't think she was her own character. She was a caricature of.
Because I felt like the only female character in here at all that even in any way stood up as a strong female character was the cop. And even her, everybody fails the Bechdel test in this thing. Everyone. They're all just, what does Takeshi think? Everyone. All they ever talk about is Takeshi.
That's what anyone ever talks about.
I mean, there's literally a scene in here where multiple naked clones of the same girl all die horribly in a scene, and you're just like, this is a show about killing naked women.
No,
I mean, it happens in almost every episode.
It was, okay, that scene was, like, the nudity was for shock value, but I don't think it was for titillation. There's a lot that happens in other shows where there's rape and violence against women that's shown as being like, ooh, it's wrong, but it's a little sexy, right? Where this was like, the violence against women was clearly wrong. And the women take their own authority. There is, I don't want to give the spoiler yet, but there's a character who was taken advantage of and basically ruined, who just emerges like a phoenix and is freaking amazing and kicks some ass. And she is her own character. You think that she's going to be just like, oh, this is the victim that some other character is going to have to save. She saves her fucking self, and she saves, like, everybody else in the meantime.
And with that, let's take the move over into spoiler territory. So you guys have a good idea generally of what we all thought of this. Now we're going to go for people who did see the whole thing so we can talk about spoilers. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, that character was Lizzie Elliott. The girl.
To me, that was the most questionable performance, I thought.
As
an actress.
Yeah, yes. But that's beside the point. Her character. She doesn't have that many scenes in line. No, it wasn't. And she was supposed to be a little like, I'm like not 100% there.
I will absolutely. There is no one, as far as the acting department, there is no one in this thing that's knocking it out of the park at all.
Chris Connor? I loved Poe.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I will admit, I would watch a whole series just about that hotel, like an anthology series, to, like the Room 413 or whatever it is. But just shit that happens at Poe's gothic AI hotel.
Ooh,
I would watch
fun
out of that. I want to live in that hotel.
Yeah, let's all live in that hotel.
I'm still kind of like, there's this whole thing where they're like, nobody knows those places, man.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
And I was like, what are you talking about? This is clearly the most awesome hotel.
Yeah, this looks like paradise.
Yeah, it was like, plus, it's like, oh, is someone bothering you? And giant rail guns come out of the ceiling.
Just
I'm like,
blow everyone apart.
I fail to see the problem. Maybe the book covered that more? I don't know.
It's been like 5 years. Okay. But,
well, I think the obvious thing is it's great if you're being pursued by murder people. Or if you're just wanting to see, hey, let's go check out San Francisco. It's like, oh, you know, Edgar Allan Poe keeps showing up in my room at all hours telling me weird shit.
I wouldn't mind.
I know people.
Tell me a story, Poe. Teach me how to throw knives.
As long as it's not the stack from actual Poe, because he'd just appear and go, why am I alive? And brutally murder himself.
And what was he? He was alcoholic, but wasn't he addicted to something else? You know, like morphine or something? Right. Yeah.
Everybody was addicted to opium back then.
The guy who runs my hotel is dead in a gutter. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, there's, I kind of, one of the things I was like, what's happening here is the whole relationship between him and the other AIs that have sort of feel like they're on the verge of revolution against humankind. I was like, I felt like that whole thing, they kind of,
Oh, I wonder if that's going to be in the second season.
I think so. Because, I mean, you've read
Neuromancer, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Well, that's one of the main points that they make is like, hey, there are AIs in the world, but every one of them basically has a shotgun wired to their forehead, because the minute they get out of line, they're like, oh, fuck that, you're getting too conscious. They blow their, you know,
you get flatlined.
As well you should. Yeah. Sorry, McIntosh.
And I gotta say, out of everybody...
Why was I programmed to feel?
Out of everybody in the story, I will totally admit this, and there's a lot of death in this. the most effective death to me was Harpo is erased. I'm like, God damn it, you gotta be a little
bit. I know, I cried.
I'm sure he's an AI. He's got a backup somewhere. Mm. They got a memory stick in the drawer.
Make the case.
It's like one of those like handheld tiger games or whatever, where that's like the only copy.
He's a Tamagotchi. Once he's gone forever.
Unfortunately, the backup is H.P. Lovecraft, who just appears.
No, I don't.
What are all these Jews doing in my hotel?
Welcome to the anti-Semite hotel.
So, put your finger there, Skin. No, too Jewish.
it's literally 2439. Everybody has Jewishness in them.
I mean, this show, it definitely moves very quickly. So if you're one of those people who didn't enjoy Blade Runner because you're like, this is slow, nothing is happening, lots of stuff was, you just had to use your brain.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, sorry, you're so much deeper than us. I guess we'll sit here and look at the pretty pictures.
Wait, but you hated Blade Runner 2049?
I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it as much as a lot of people did.
Oh my god.
I liked it a lot when I saw it, and then I thought about it too much, and I was like, fuck.
That's my favorite movie of the year, too. By far.
I think it's like, a masterpiece.
It's really, really good. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's really, really good. Regardless,
it's one of those films that is not about being overt. It's about you sitting there and getting impressions from it and thinking about it.
But it is a real story.
Yeah.
It's a real boy story.
Yeah. A Pinocchio story.
Yeah.
And this is all, everything is pretty much on the surface here. It is what it is, and it's there for people to go and either have a lot of fun with the nonstop action, or not. I mean, it's not going to be everybody's sort of thing. I found a lot of my friends who really love literary sci-fi hated this movie, like a series, just despised it. We're like, God, fuck that. I got 3 episodes in. I was like, I can't have to watch this garbage anymore. And I was like, God, it's not anywhere near that bad. Holy shit. I think it's kind of dumb, but it's fun.
They didn't like it because they thought it was too dumb.
Yeah, I thought it was really dumb and really stealing everything.
Do they watch television at all? Oh, I don't have a TV at home.
I mean, I can get why people would think Blade Runner is dumb because some of the themes are like kind of like, all right, what does it mean to be human? Like, I don't know. Those are like really philosophical, but also been done a zillion times. But this, I mean, it's not, there's no deep meaning. It's just a lot of fun. It's just like really cool ideas, really cool. I don't know. I like the plot and I really like that.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I will go, you know, this isn't going to make you go sit down and, you know, man, I need a glass of whiskey and a couple of hours to process this. But I do think it makes some points about, you know, late stage capitalism and you know, the way that we handle scarcity resources that, you know, it's not the deepest commentary on it, but it's not like this thing is just sitting here like, hey, look at the tits.
Yeah.
there's a little bit more here than that.
I hate to tell you, Bo, but presuming that we don't end up looking like the Earth does in the last couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is basically just like a broken crescent moon floating in space by 350 years from now, probably not too different than what we're going to end up with. In fact, I think this is optimistic compared to what
Wow. So it wasn't dark enough for you?
No, I didn't have a problem with it being realistic or not in that sense. God knows, who wants to watch that?
there was one bit that I feel like they kind of missed out on that the book focused a little bit more when he double sleeves, so he, you know, creates this duplicate of himself.
And they don't immediately have sex with each other.
I know. They were looking at, they were like, all right, man, rock, paper, scissors for who's going to be on top.
It's like that. It's good. But yeah, there is like some kind of interesting things that come up. Like at what point is that the same person? At what point is it two distinct people? And the show just kind of glosses over that. And there's, like, the book doesn't really do that.
I mean,
like,
they do and they don't, because they approach that with what's his face? The Russian guy who's Dee Dee the twin.
Yeah.
They kind of approach that, you know, it's just like, hey, when you do this to yourself, if you do it for long enough, it will really fuck you up.
Yeah. He's like, the Dee Dee the twin is two really good, like, two actors I enjoy seeing. The one guy I always forget his name.
Yeah,
character actor who appears in almost everything. And then
Tom O'Pinnicott.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wait, pick one, because I like both of you.
In the grand tradition of everybody who appeared in Dollhouse has a completely unpronounceable name. Speaking of which, so...
We also had as Ray,
and also I feel in many ways kind of one of the weakest links about this thing. I will totally give you that.
By the way, Michael Eklund is the other guy I was thinking of.
It is what is her name? Deacon.
Where is she on the Wikipedia? She plays Ray Kovach. Yeah. Oh, what Raylene? It's Deacon Lockman.
Yeah.
Wait, why does she have a different last name? She have a different dad?
Sure. I think her father is Dutch and her mother...
No. Her character is Kawahara. Oh, because she was adopted by the Yakuza. Sorry. Needed to make that
but
point.
Yes. So they basically, Takashi's backstory is that he grew up on one of the Outer Worlds with his mother, his father, and his sister. And his father was basically an abusive piece of shit, ended up killing his mom, was about to kill his sister, and then he killed the dad.
Yeah, pretty normal home story.
That's what ended up with him basically being like, well, you're in jail and we can keep your brain frozen for hundreds of years, or you can join the army, basically.
Yeah.
Is the choice that he's offered. And if you do that, we'll hook your sister up with a good family, you know, she'll be taken care of. And he's like, well, no brain.
The Yakuza is a good family.
Yeah,
to be honest, she is a billionaire. Like,
well, she became a billionaire.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she was a Yakuza gun, basically.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did she become a millionaire? I didn't get that.
She made herself.
Through the Yakuza.
No, it was not. Yeah.
Because that's like, she turned on them the moment she found out Takeshi was still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that scene was a little weak. The flashback episode I wasn't a big fan of. I thought they, like, turned on their respective parties a little bit too easily. Right. It was like, oh, it's my sister. I'm gonna kill everybody I know.
Yeah.
It would have been like, they'd just go like, hey, can you hold on a second while I talk to my sister?
Yeah. Be like, you guys,
well,
it's my,
kill
you guys, guess what? It's my sister. Can you believe it? Like, it's crazy.
Can we just call Mulligan on this whole day?
Like, I haven't seen her in like 20 years. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it was partially reactions like that that I were where I kept being standoffish with. Like, I honestly found the whole thing like, the whole she's the main villain and I would do anything for you. Everything is all about. I just got to the point, I was like, oh my God, Jesus Christ.
This is going on and on,
having a hard time buying it.
I have to say that the weakest episodes of the series were the last two.
Yeah, I agree.
When it was all I would do anything.
She's really good with physicality, you know, and I think that's why she got cast. But yeah, as far and that's one of the reasons that, you know, I do, you know, definitely take some check marks off from the entire thing, is because she's being asked to shoulder a lot of things, and she's kind of got to present the fact that, you know, I've been so the people that are essentially immortal in this world are called meths for Methuselahs.
I thought it was for methamphetamine.
It's called meth because they didn't want to get sued by Robert Heinlein's estate.
Meth is a hell of a stack.
But but yeah, the idea that she's been alive for this long and done so many horrible things that she's kind of lost herself and become essentially psychotic, you know, which, you know, they make a good presentation for the fact that all meths are kind of psychotic, just like corporations, because they live forever and they have... Because
they're people.
I mean, in the case of her running this spaceship that, like, literally murders people for sexual gratification of others, I'd say the word essentially is not necessary.
That's true.
That they litter, yeah.
She is... full-blown psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, and that's how she made her billions.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also, she needs to present herself as someone who's like, I love my brother to, you know, that's all I fucking care about. And she doesn't have the chops to pull.
Well, and the script doesn't either.
The writing does her no favors. Yeah. I will certainly say that.
Yeah, I think I feel like this could have been one episode shorter because they did a lot of like, let's have another scene where I tell you how much I've been waiting for you and I need you and I'm going to do anything. And he's like, I'm not going to go off with you, sis. And that's weird. Why are you naked?
As well as getting towards the last couple episodes, they start showing us a lot of really, I don't want to see this gross out murder sex stuff that I'm like, okay, we get it. Stop showing it to us. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm done.
Okay. You needed a nap.
I needed a nap. I did. And my Ovaltine. No, I mean, it was just like that level. I'm like, this is just distasteful. I'm not enjoying watching this. I just feel kind of sick to my stomach.
It's not like all those other movies I've seen where whores get killed. That's great.
What movies are you thinking of?
Game of Thrones.
a lot.
You don't know me.
It felt necessary to me. Like, where Game of Thrones, I'm always like, oh my god, another one of these scenes. But with this, it's like, that's how she made her millions. Like, how she's this terrible person. Like, we have to see it.
I mean,
we have to see how gross it is.
The basic crux, you know, it turns out it was the sister all along, as you know, which is one of the more obvious reveals in this whole thing, for better or for worse. But she has you know, the people that she hires to work for her technicians basically found a way to code people stacks so that it basically says, hey, I'm a neo-Catholic, and neo-Catholics do not believe in you know, do
being
not
restack.
They're basically they have a DNR on their stack. And that's all well and good, but she's catering to these ultra wealthy clients in her, you know, orbiting whorehouse, and they want to have really kill people, like actually, you know, take out their stack, and so that they're not reincarnated, and so, you know, that's all well and good. She's figured out a way, like, oh, this is cool. All they have to do is kill them, and then they don't even have to take out the stack, you know, which is very illegal. And we can dispose of the body. There's no big deal because the stack will say, oh, this was a neo-Catholic.
You keep saying stack, and all I can think about is pancakes now.
That's all you ever think, Sarah.
I don't know why.
Stacks, yeah. with stacks, this is stacks with a CKS. At the very beginning, like in the very first episode, they raised this point that, oh, there was this bill that was going through the world government that was basically going to say, like, hey, if you're murdered, even if you are codified, we can pull you up as a witness so we can achieve justice.
And then kill you again.
And then we'll kill you again and you can go to heaven. and this bill was killed. And it turns out that, you know, this is kind of this whole thing that has happened to Bancroft, and the fact that he, you know, killed himself and all this is a result of Takashi's sister's manipulations. That she, you know, because if this bill passed, it's like, oh, all these people that I, you know, all these hookers that I let my clients kill are going to say, like, yeah, she actually told me that I was going to get a new stack. All that I had to do was, you know, let this psycho senator kill me.
Yeah.
It's not them you have to fear. It's me. Yeah. Do you like that delivery?
That's strong. Why aren't you?
She's menacing.
Why aren't you acting in this series?
I could have been.
Yeah. Except you're like, I'm not going to run around naked for this whole show. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was in the contract for literally every actor.
No, I could just have Martha Igareta come in as my body double.
There you go. She really was like one of those, like, I was like, you know, I'm not trying to be all like, but I was like, god damn.
I know. I was like, you're not tiny and you got giant fucking tits. Fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, there's nobody. Rest assured, if somebody in this, if anyone in this who is not traditionally attractive does not take their clothes off, mm-hmm. it's like you're not seeing Mickey, who is the guy who played Warren from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Right. You're not seeing him take his clothes off.
Who hasn't aged? He hasn't aged.
Yeah, he looks exactly the same.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's his. Oh, his new.
The creepiest thing is that he had like a 7-year relationship with the actress who played Tara in Buffy. So the one that he murdered. That's just wrong.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow.
And the other guy, the one who was really nebbishy of the of their group, he's now a very successful writer. He wrote Spider-Man Homecoming with his partner. And horrible bosses.
Little do you know.
Ooh. 5 degrees, 6 degrees. Can you edit that out and put 6 degrees in?
only 2 degrees for us because we know James Lurie. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We interviewed
him. Yeah, I know someone who was on Buffy. Yeah.
I'm not Nathan Fillion. I'm just saying.
But I
do. I've got a Porsche.
My daddy has a Porsche.
All right, then. Let's go to final thoughts here. Why don't we start out with Zach?
Yeah, I really liked it. I actually thought the acting was pretty good. The production value is insanely good. Like, it's just beautiful to look at. I love the concept. Story is pretty solid. Writing, I think, is pretty solid when it's not melodramatic. I think it could be 2 or 1 episode shorter. I'll give it 8 out of 10 Blade Runner 2048s or 49s.
Okay. Like Blu-ray discs?
Blu-ray discs.
Okay.
Sarah?
I loved this series. I was enjoying every single minute, except for the last 2 episodes. I was like, okay, let's wrap it up a little bit.
It's no Shroud of the Avatar, but...
No.
It had like 10 endings, it feels.
Yeah, it was a little, Return of the King.
Yeah, at least just one kidding. Of the endings is not all of them jumping up and down on a bed.
Yay! So. There was a little bit of that, though.
Did you finish it?
I didn't watch post-credits scene. Oh, is that what that was?
They all came in, and it was all sunshine. Like, they came in one at a time. And Gandalf!
It's just a long sequence of all of the Miriams having sex with each other.
Oh, it's pretty awesome.
Shit, I'm going back and watching that.
Okay, that scene I thought was a little... Yeah, Miriam was my least favorite part of this. But anyway, I thought it was great. I thought especially the scene where Ortega and all the Reys were fighting was amazing. And I don't know if they did this intentionally, but like, has anybody watched Evangelion?
No.
Well,
I should have.
There's a lot of naked girls named Rey in that one too. So I was like, I wonder if it's kind of like a slight nod to it. But anyway, that scene was like freaking amazing to me. I don't think it was objectifying or gratuitous at all. But speaking of gratuitous, it is a very violent show. If you're squeamish, don't watch this because there's a lot of like, point blank shots and a lot of breaking of bones and body parts. Oh, and
a weird egg beater dagger thing.
Yeah. Why was that his like instrument of choice?
It doesn't seem efficient.
It
pulls out the stack. Also, it leaves a gaping wound that is almost impossible to sew up.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, where can you buy them?
It reminds me of one of those, like, when you need, like, the little tool that picks up tiny, tiny screws.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. Just like if I were a killer, I would probably use that. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10, what's his name? Joel Kinnaman nipples.
Which I hope you don't get tired of.
And yes,
see them a lot.
Yes, that's an odd number.
Yeah.
One of them got chopped off, okay?
Just like Roxanne. Why don't you go next?
Because
you tell everybody how you hate it, and then I can tell them what they should think.
Ooh.
I reserve the right to go last.
I didn't do that, thank you.
So after
how stupid everyone is.
After Botox, you can all just like shut off the podcast, move on to the whatever, the 50 Shades of Fear. what's it called?
50 Shades Freed.
Whatever. No, really? Yeah. Ew. Ew, I want to wash my brain.
Shades of bored.
All right, yeah. So I was backed up 48 hours ago. Can you guys just kill me so I forget that fact? Sorry, Bo, go.
I'm definitely more towards Sarah's end of the spectrum on this than you know, Chris.
I'm on a spectrum.
Chris's weird one. But, yeah, like I said, this really pleased me as far as a fan of the cyberpunk genre. I'm just watching this made me go like, wow, I love the way the world building in this is realized. It's a lot of fun. It makes me think like, oh, there are books that were written, you know, 15, even 20 years ago, you know, hell, some Neuromancer was written in the goddamn 80s, that makes me think like, oh, we can kind of realize this vision right now, and that's very exciting to me as a fan of, and I think maybe this is where I'm a fan of pulp fiction, which is, I will absolutely admit, sometimes quite stupid and obvious, but I don't mind that as long as it's done well and respects the tropes, and I think that this does. Really, the only thing that detracted this for me is certainly Lachman's performance as Rey, because she is such an integral part of this. You know, she's literally the one who done it. they should have gotten somebody with better chops to carry that really important load. Other than that, and yeah, the last two episodes should have been pared down to one. I had an absolute ball watching this, and there were certain times that I was just like, this is fucking awesome. You know, this was, yes, it was a lot of eye candy, but for me, nothing, you know, sex or violence wise hit the point of absolute gratuity that I was just like, yeah, I need to fast forward this or get past it. I felt like it set up its rules and played well by them for the most part. So yeah, I give this 9 out of 10 neon CGI lotus roots, because that's what a fucking stack is.
Oh, sorry. I have one more thing to add to my final thoughts. I'd like to point out that I love that the cast is so diverse. Yeah. I mean, there is a little bit of a problem with having a half Japanese, half Caucasian person be shoved into a Caucasian person's body. I understand in the books it's addressed a bit more. So anyway, I hope they continue this. I think they'll continue this with season 2. Hopefully they'll put Kovach in a non-white body next time.
And I want him in his original stack.
Yeah.
Or original sleeve.
Book, does it?
I haven't read the last, I only read the first book.
Well, that's the great thing about it. It looks like, you know, cause really the only one you need is Takeshi to go on with the series, other than the actors who played Kel. And it would be really exciting if not only they keep the cast diverse, but they find better actors. So well, that's what you should put in.
Like from reading a synopsis of the second book, it's all on Mars, and it's a you know, Takeshi's the main character, but he's in a totally different sleeve.
I'm pretty sure at the very end in the book, like when he doubles himself, he's in a variant of his original sleeve, which is. And it's Asian, but I don't know if it's like...
Right. Well, there's a second Asian body we see him in the series.
Yeah.
It's like his military badass body.
Exactly. Will Yun Lee?
Yeah.
No.
But they did say Joel Kinnaman was like, as far as I've been told, I'm not going to be in the second season.
Yeah.
So, which would, you know, first I read that before I watched it. I was like, God damn it, why would you put... And then at the end you're like, oh, okay. Well,
I mean...
It's not really a spoiler.
I liked him. But the fact that his face is so tiny really bothered me.
He has a tiny face?
He has a tiny face.
You have the weirdest stamp.
I don't even know what to say.
Like, he's got a big body and then just a small head and face.
See,
that guy had the worst case of tiny face I've ever seen.
Like a Seinfeld character.
She had man hands.
Man hands. Tiny face.
Ate her peas.
She was a clump.
You double dipped a chip.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to return soup in a deli.
Sorry, you were giving your final thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've already said. I mean, you guys get the general gist. I don't feel like repeating all the stuff just like that I didn't care for about this. But I will agree with you guys in the sense that there's no question that this thing moves fast. It's fun to look at. It's very colorful. It's got great set design and production design. you know, I mean, all of which feels like it's borrowed from better things, but...
Ooh!
Tell everyone how cool Matt Frewer is.
I was so disappointed he wasn't in it more. I was like, oh,
wait, who's
Matt
that?
Frewer!
Huh?
Max Headroom.
The guy who's running the Bloodsport thing.
And a variety of characters in Star Trek.
Yes. I thought I recognized him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Man, that's some original cyberpunk shit right there.
Max Headroom is like, yeah, that's way going way back.
He was Max Headroom?
Yeah.
Oh, he must have been like a youngin.
Yeah, he was in his 20s.
Yeah, he's like 60 something now.
Yeah.
I know he was like in Eureka or something as like a janitor.
Matt Frewer is like he's one of those character guys that's been a lot.
He's very Canadian.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm certainly, as much as I'm like, there are points to this I found distasteful and did not enjoy, like it's sort of beautiful ugliness where I'm like, yeah, I just wish you would get past this. I can't say, I mean, I went all the way to the end with no hesitation. I'm still like, yeah, I'm enjoying watching this. I just constantly kept thinking, man, this could have been so much better than it actually is. Mm-hmm. It gets overly complex in silly ways. There's a lot of stuff that I just didn't care for. But I think a lot of people are going to like it like you guys did. It's certainly, unless you're one of those people who's like, I don't own a television.
I only read The New Yorker.
This is not for the guy who just got done reading Hyperion and is looking for high-end, like, philosophical sci-fi adaptations, because this ain't it. This is for, there was a whole, in the 90s, there was a thing where all the sci-fi coming out for a while was all this sort of military ultra-badass sci-fi. Like that was like
Starship Troopers.
Yeah, it was all sort of like felt like it evolved from that movie.
That book's just an essay. Yeah,
but everybody like doing these whole series about like the ultimate military badass, and I'm fighting against conspiracy, and I've got powers. It feels like the ultimate example of like one of those, which is fine, whatever.
Mm.
But I just thought it was okay. Six out of 10. AI hotels with all sorts of people I can think of.
Let's go!
I just want to have fanfic about all the other AI hotels.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I think Arrival would have been much better if the visitors were cyber hookers.
Well, now we've just learned a lot about why you like this. And what's wrong with you.